The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
I'll tell you what, Mark chapter 10, why don't we start there? Got another place I want to go to after that. But in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 32, let me go ahead and read. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 32. Now when they were on the road, speaking of the disciples with Jesus, going up to Jerusalem. By the way, it just happens to be geographically accurate that in order to get to Jerusalem, wherever you are, you're going up to be able to get to it. So that's an accurate statement. When they were on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will arise again. He had told them this on several occasions. They had a hard time being able to understand it. This must be another one of those parables where it means something different than what it sounds like. But Jesus was very forthright in coming out and making them aware of that which would be taking place. Now go with me to the Gospel of Mark, a little further on, verse 53 of chapter 14. Jesus has been betrayed, and now he is being taken. Verse 53 of Mark chapter 14, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. That which would be assumed as the religious leadership of the nation of Israel. They're all there. And Jesus is being brought in their midst, bound. Verse 54 gives us a little other information. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. That's accurate. Why? Because Jesus never sinned. He was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. Is that important? You bet it is. Because if Jesus sinned just once, when he died for his own sin. But he never sinned. And they put together this kangaroo court, and they couldn't convict him. The scriptures go on and record for us, verse 56, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And not even then did their testimonies agree. You know how it works. We're parents, grandparents, older individuals, whatever older means. And we've learned this, haven't we? When you lie, you need to cover it with another lie. Isn't that something? I used to think my dad was the smartest man in the whole world. How in the world did he catch me? Because he kept asking questions, and I came up with, I'm sure, some whoppers. God in his grace has allowed me to forget, and I don't remember what they were, so I can't tell you, but I'm sure I did, no doubt about it. And here they are. Verse 60, and the high priest stood up in their midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, and the sense of the Greek is that this was a continual request. Not at one time only, but he had been asking and asking and asking, saying, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. That word, the Blessed, is only found here in the New Testament. It's a term that would have been used regarding the Messiah, regarding God. The Jews, they were always, we can't use this name for God, and so they'd use another name in its place. You know, that would go on. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. Yes, it's the exact same term found in the Gospel of John, which is from the Greek ego I me, which really means I am that I am. We find over and over, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection and life. Same term that Jesus used over and over in the Gospel of John. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Same word. I am. It was a term that took everyone back to a time in the book of Exodus where Moses had come and seen a bush that was burning but wasn't consumed. And as he came to that place, God said, take off your sandals, for the place that you stand is holy ground. And as God gave him a task to represent God and to go back to Egypt and say, let my people go, Moses said, well, I can't do that. Who do I tell them sent me? I am. That's the covenant name of God. And Jesus asked the question, are you? I am. Make no one that here have any doubt. There's no hemming or hawing. Jesus said he was Lord. What happens? Verse 63, the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began, the one that I'm speaking of, the one that we're reading about, he didn't deserve this. He's taking my place right here. And who else's place? Yeah, he's taking our place. He's going through what we deserve because of our sin. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him and beat him and say, prophesy. And the sense of prophesy was not just give some information, but who hit you? They blindfolded him and then they struck him and said, come on, if you're really of God, you know my name. Prophesy. Tell me who I am. They ridiculed him. This is God. This is God who has come in the flesh for the specific purpose of going to the cross. Look what he endured for me and you. He didn't have to. We learn he could have called 10 legions of angels in an instant, and it would all be behind him. But he endured, didn't he? Have you ever had something happen to you and you said, that's not fair? Well, listen up, because the ultimate that's not fair is Jesus going through everything that he went through for you and for me. Amen? It's the ultimate. That's not fair. You and I, God can give us the grace to deal with our frustrations. But we are in awe of him. Think with me, on what basis did he stay there and go through that? The officers struck him with the palms of their hands. He is going to be whipped. He is going to be placed on the cross and go through all the agony. I'm reading now in John's epistle, the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, And it says this in verse 16, by this we know love. I mean, there may be other definitions that are out here, but you really want to know what love is? Here it is. In this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There ought to be a response that we have to all that he went on. A little later on in chapter 4, we read this in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested, or made evident, made public, displayed so that everyone could be able to see it. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but what? That he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or complete satisfaction for our sins. Some people wonder, you know, I've sinned a lot more than somebody else has. Can God's grace and his love really cover all of that? You know what? He is the complete satisfaction for all our sins. You want to highlight that verse. You want to underline that. You want to be able to come back to that portion of the Bible and immediately see that verse. Yeah, amen? You know what I mean? I mean, just being able to know he's the complete satisfaction. Why did he endure that day that's written about back in Mark? And it's because he loved you. It's because he loved us. Knowing, hear this, he's God. He knows about our frailties, our foibles. He knows about our sins, past, present. Come on. And he still came and went to the cross. That's why, as we come to this table, it's not just same old religious, let's go ahead and just have the bread and have the cup and then we go on. This is worth our spending time. This is to remind us of the greatest love that we could ever know. We think of the preciousness of human relationships and it's meaningful, isn't it? But I just need you to know it's not as deep as his love for you. And so we come to this table. And gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to prepare, the elders or whoever's helping us with the Lord's table this morning, because we come to this table. And I ask you today to see Jesus. No, not a vision that he appears in front of you. Being reminded of who he is, of what he did, and why he did it. His love for you. Can we ever repay him for what he has done? Categorically, no question about it. Is there a response that is appropriate to all that he has done? And we would say that that first response is by faith coming to trust him as our Savior. But that's not the end. We then, as a result of that, have the opportunity with our life to be able to live in a way that honors and pleases him. Some moments we may wonder how, and we seek God's will in his word. Some moments it's pretty clear. He doesn't want us going through the motions and playing games here today. We're not playing church. We are being reminded that his body was given for us. My mind's eye hears the smack of one of those hands across his face as he's blindfolded. Of a whip beating him across his back. And he did nothing wrong. He endured that so that he could take my place on that cross. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today in this room, may we love our Lord. It's all about him. Gentlemen, come forward. The scriptures, and many of you know this so well, you could almost do it better than I can. You know that there's two things that I'm going to talk about right now before we end up distributing these elements. Number one is that if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, you can take these elements, but it means nothing. But what you do is you take something that's precious to us and you make it common. And so we ask that if you do not know Christ as Savior, that you do not partake of these elements. And I cover this often. Somebody's going to say, well, what would the people around me say? Listen, we got a full-time job just looking at ourselves. Be true to yourself. Don't play games. There was a problem in the Corinthian church. It was that they had gotten, even that early in the church, gotten so used to having these times together that it was another meal to them. And they wanted to get it before the other people ended up getting it. Jesus said, this is my body. This is my blood. No, it's not literally his body. We're not crucifying Christ here today. But we're to be really seriously recognizing what he went through for us. And the Corinthians, without examining themselves, were living a life of selfishness and going through the motions religiously. Paul said, no. And by the grace of God, I say to you today, as a brother in Christ and as your pastor, no. Understood? You either deal with your heart and your life right here, privately. Well, I don't need to know about it. But you do that and then participate, or you hold off and deal with that first before you partake of these elements, because we're not going to cheapen the life of Christ. Not here, not in our church, by the grace of God, not ever. And so before these elements are distributed, we need to pray. No, not listen to Pastor pray. We need to pray. And if there's anything between yourself and the Savior, would you confess it? Would you realize it's that kind of sin, which is why Jesus had to go to the cross? We don't make light of sin today. We see the seriousness of sin today. I don't judge you. You don't judge me. We ask the Spirit of God to do a little inventory and to make us aware of who we are and where we are. And we bring those before our Lord and we seek forgiveness, right? We confess our sins, recognizing he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Enough from me. Let's bow. Let's talk to the Lord. Father, we can't hide anything from you. You know us inside and out. And so right now, Father, I pray that any concept of wearing a mask would get thrown right out the door. Right now, may we be recognizing that we are transparent before you. You see us with our weaknesses, with our sins, with our failures. You see us with our weaknesses. You see us. Your word teaches us that Jesus Christ died for all of this. And we come before you today and say, oh God, would you do in us a work? Would you forgive us? Cleanse us? Remind us that we are yours and that our life only finds meaning when you are in the place that you deserve to be. As we partake of this table, the bread and the cup, may our thoughts be of you. May our thoughts be purified, Father. May they be of who you really are, not who people say you are. And may we recognize today a little bit more of how much we are loved. Overwhelm us afresh and anew. And may you be glorified in this place. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here at Payless, we have what's called an open communion policy. That may mean nothing to you, but it means that there's nobody checking your credentials at the door as to whether you're a member of Payless Bible Church. It's between yourself and the Lord. But if you know Christ as Savior, and if you've confessed your sin and know that you are in right relationship with Him, then this table we desire to celebrate together and to worship our Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Payless Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit paylossbiblechurch.com.